Today's daf ayin hey. I'm sorry, daf ayin dalid, page 74, deals with the big topic of the malacha of borer, of pulling the bad out of the good. And that's a very big topic. We're not going to go into all the halachos, but it's one of the few malachos that nowadays it's pretty easy for a person to end up doing a biblical violation. A lot of the other malachos nowadays, if a person were to violate, it would only be rabbinic, because most of the things we do are not the way they did it in the biblical way. But in regards to borer, the malacha of picking the bad out of the good, it's pretty easy to end up in trouble and violating a biblical violation. So it's a very, very exciting daf. Today's daf ayin dalid, we'll learn about a series of malachos, borer and other malachos as well, kosher, and we'll learn a little bit about bishul, about cooking. So we were on the two dots on ayin gimel amud beis, the last two dots here on ayin gimel amud beis. Again, today's daf is daf ayin dalid, page 74 in Masechet Shabbos. We were on the two dots on the bottom of ayin gimel amud beis. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, 39 malachos on Shabbos. Amongst them, there are three that are all about separating food from waste, separating food from dross. Ochel versus the psoles, the food versus the not good stuff. So we learned, hazore, if somebody winnows. So winnowing is to take the grain and the chaff, put it into a utensil, and then throw it into the air and have the wind stream separate the chaff from the heavier grain. And then we had haborer. Borer is somebody who literally picks out the bad from the good. By hand, he picks out the pebbles and the stones that are in the grain. Three, hatochen, somebody who grinds the grain into flour. And then once the grain is flour, hamarakate, someone who sifts the flour to get the bad parts that got into the flour to separate them out and only get the good little pieces of flour to come out. So the Gemara is now going to ask, we're on the bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. Hainu Zora, Hainu Borer, Hainu Marakate. These three activities are seemingly all the same thing. To take a whole cluster of kernels and chaff and throw it up into the sky so that the wind stream separate the chaff from the kernels. To take a package of grains and to pick out the stones. Or to take flour and to sift out the good flour and separate from it the bad. It's all the same thing. It's all to pull the good away from the bad when they're both in a mixture, or to somehow get the bad away and to leave just the good. So why is this considered three different malachos? It should be one malacha. Why does the Mishnah tell us you have three malachos? Zora, to take the whole mixture of wheat and chaff and throw it into the sky so that the wind separate the bad away from the good. Borer, to pick out the stones from the mixture, the stones that are in the grains, and merakate, to separate out the bad stuff from the flour. It's all the same malacha. Why is it counted as three malachos? It should only be one malacha. So Abaye and Rava da Amri Tavayu. Both Abaye and Rava gave the same answer. Kol milsa da havya b'mishkan. Any prominent matter that was in the Mishkan, any prominent activity needed also to construct and create the Mishkan. Even though it has other activities that are similar to it, chashivla gets counted as its own malacha. So this was a big deal to sift the flour. It was a big deal to pick out the stones from the kernels. It was a big deal to throw the whole mixture of kernels and chaff into the sky and let the wind separate the chaff away from the heavier kernels. So each of these is a malacha unto itself. Asks the Gemara, if you're saying anything that was needed, anything that was done, is part of making the lechem apanim, part of making the showbread, or part of making the samamanim, part of making the dyes, was considered a malacha. V'lichshuv nami kotesh. So then you had another activity after dash, after threshing, after the animal would step on a board which was on top of the harvested wheat sheaves, and separating the kernels away from the chaff around it. There was a need to break up the kernels a little bit. They would put the kernels into a mortar and pestle, into a bowl with a little stick to bring down onto the bowl, and they would break on the inside also a little bit. That was ketisha. So why isn't that also considered a malacha? So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Shekein ani ochel pito below ketisha. A poor person, when he has his grain, he doesn't first break it up, ketisha, in the mortar and pestle to further separate the solids from the chaff. And therefore, ketisha is not a prominent activity to be considered a malach unto itself. Rav Amar Rava said, you know why ketisha is not listed in our Mishnah as another malacha? Because Rabbi, our Mishnah is the view of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, because he's the author of the Mishnayos. Tamar, and he told us, Avos malachos arbaim chaser achas, there can only be 39 malachos, based on the Pasuk. The Pasuk said, Eila Advarim, as we saw in Drasha earlier. Eila Advarim, based on the Gematria, is 39. There can only be 39 malachos. Eichash of Kotesh, if you'd also count Ketisha, Avili arbaim, then there'd be 40 malachos. So Gemara says, well, I understand. Vilei pukhada mehanach. So take one of these things out. One of Zore, Bore, or Meraki. They're all seemingly the same thing. Take one of them out. Beliayel Kotesh, put in Ketisha. Ella, apparently, Machvarta Keda Abaye, the proof is like what Abaye said. Since poor people are not Kotesh, they do not press their wheat. They eat whole wheat bread, eat the cheaper bread. They don't eat the fine flour, clean bread, the white bread. They eat the whole wheat bread. So since the poor people, they don't do the Ketisha. So therefore, most people are poor. Most people don't do ketisha. So since most people don't do ketisha, that makes the action of ketisha a non-prominent action. And apparently for something to be considered a malacha, there are several things. Number one, it has to be something that was done to make the Mishkan. But number two, it has to be a prominent action. It was a prominent action. And this prominent action in the world was done to make the Mishkan. So since ketisha is normally not a prominent action, poor people don't do ketisha on their produce. Therefore, ketisha is not counted as a malacha. Now we're going to learn all about borer. We have a brisa which is difficult, different explanations of what the brisa means, and then we'll see what the halacha is based on all these explanations. Tana Rabbanan, our sages taught us in a brisa. Hayu lefanav minei ochlin. A person has different foods in front of him. Some he likes and some he doesn't like. So, I don't know, it's a kid sitting at the table and they have, they serve the kid food. There's a mixture of foods here. Yeah, I don't know, maybe a mixture of dried fruits. And the kid says, I don't like the raisins. I'll eat the peanuts, but I don't like the raisins. So what does the Braisa say? Borer v'ochel. He can pick out and eat. Borer u'meniach. He can pick out and give for somebody else. Let somebody else eat it. Interesting. Then the Braisa says, v'lo yivror. He should not pick out. He should not separate. It's a contradiction. And then the Braisa says, not only shouldn't he do it, v'im birer, if he picked out, chayav chatas. He has to bring a sin offering. It's a biblical prohibition. So you had three extremes all in the same brisa. You're allowed to pick. Don't pick. If you pick, it's the worst possible thing, a biblical violation. So how do you understand the Braisa? So now we'll see multiple explanations. My Kamar, how do we read the Braisa? What's it trying to say? Answer number one. Amar Ula Ula said, Hachi Kamar, this is what the Braisa means to say. Borva Ochel Bobayom. He can pick out and eat, in other words, if he's eating right away, that day. Boru Meniach, if he's picking out, he can pick out and leave for others. Again, Lebobayom, if they're going to eat it that day. Ulamachar, if he wants to pick out and eat it the next day, he wants to pick out and leave it, and then the next day eat. Lo Yivar, that's when he shouldn't pick. Vimbirer, and if he picked and left for the next day, Chayav Chatas, that's already a biblical sin. Now, what's the logic in Ula's thought? So I saw here a nice idea. The logic of Ula's thought is that in a certain way, Borer is like Hotza'a. Hotza'a is considered Malacha Grua. It's a very inferior activity. Why is Hotza'a Malacha Grua? Because you're not changing the object. Most of the Malachos, you're transforming an object. Let's say you're taking something which is raw and through heat, making it edible. That's cooking. You're changing the object. With Hotza, you don't really change the object. You just change the placement of the object. From being in the house, now it's out in the street. But you didn't change the object itself. In Borer, you could argue you're also not really changing the object. The raisins are the raisins and the peanuts are the peanuts. You just separated one from the other. So therefore, Ula holds, when you separate one from the other to eat it today, it's all called eating. That's not called changing an object. That's not called a malacha. When you're separating one from the other to leave it for tomorrow, so that's already considered putting something into storage. That gives it the prominence to be considered a malacha, and then it is a biblical violation. Again, this is Ula's view. Now we'll see other views. Maskeflar of Chizda. Rav Chizda challenged Ula. I understand if you say that there's something wrong in separating, but you could separate for today, you can't separate for tomorrow. Why is this different than cooking? Would anyone say you're allowed to bake for today, but you just can't bake for tomorrow? Can you cook for today, but you just can't cook for tomorrow? Nobody says that. Elam Rav Chizda, therefore Rav Chizda has a different proposal. What does the Braisa mean? If you're picking out and leaving to the side an amount that's less than a fig worth, less than the amount that you're allowed to do. Boru meniach. You can pick out and leave to the side and give to your friend. Again, when it's pachos mikashir, less than a fig worth. Ukashir lo yivro. But if you're picking out a fig worth amount, you're not supposed to do that. And if you did, chayiv chatas, you would have to bring a sin offering. It would be a biblical violation. Maskefer of Yosef. So Rav Yosef challenged this interpretation of the Braisa. The Braisa, when it says breira, picking out is permitted, it's referring to less than a grogeres. Less than a fig amount. If there's a malacha, there's a biblical prohibition of picking out the bad from the good, how could you say that if you did less than the amount, it's permitted? Let's say baking. If you bake less than the amount, is it permitted? No, it's not permitted. We have a rule. Chatzi shir aser minatzara. Doing less than the amount of a prohibition is also prohibited. Hashem prohibited that too. You might do more, whatever the reason is. Now they'll do less than the amount. Here the Braisa says it's permitted. It's a brayer which is permitted. So, El Amar Rav Yosef. So now we have proposal number three for the Braisa. Rav Yosef's proposal. Borer v'ochel bayad. If you're picking by hand, picking out the bad from the good, that you can do, then you can eat. Borer meniach biyad. You can pick out the bad from the good. If you're giving it to your friend, as long as you're picking out with your hand, you're not using a utensil that's made for separating, not using a utensil made for straining, for separating out the bad from the good. However, bekanon, if you're using a funnel, you pour the lentils into the funnel, some of the chaff stays on the wider part, and the kernels come out on the thinner part. Or betamchoy, if you use a big bowl as something to sift. Lo yivr, that you shouldn't do. I mean, you're not allowed to do. Vimbir, but if you did it, potter, you wouldn't have to bring a carbon. Avalaser, you're just not allowed to do it. Uvenafu vakavra, but if you use a utensil which is dedicated for separating, like a sifter, that's that you take the flour, you put it into the sifter with all the little holes, and you put the cup to push the flour down through the little holes. It's there for the sifting, to separate the bad from the good. Lo yivra, you shouldn't do that. V'imbira, and if he did that, chayev chatas, if he sifted with a utensil dedicated for straining and sifting, that's the biblical prohibition, and he is chayev chatas. Maskefler of Amnuna, Amnuna said, I don't read the brisa this way. Midi kanon v'tamchoy katani. Did the brisa say, don't sift, don't strain when you're using a funnel, when you're using a bowl? So therefore, El Amar Rav Amnuna, Rav Amnuna has now the fourth interpretation of the brisa. When the brisa says you could pick out and eat and pick out and give to your friend to eat, that is the following. Borer v'ochel, if he picks out and he's eating, ochel mitoch psolas, if he's picking out the good from the bad, then he can pick out and eat it right away. He can eat it, that's fine. Borer, he can pick out and give to his friend to eat him in yach. Again, when it's ochel mitoch psolas, he's picking the good out of the bad. However, psolas mitoch ochel, if he's picking the bad away from the good, then lo yivror, he's not allowed to do it. Imbir, if he did it, chayav chatas, he has to bring a sin offering. It is a biblical prohibition. Maskevla abaya, abaya challenges. Midi ochel mitoch psolas katani. Did the brisa actually say, don't pick out the bad from the good, and only pick out the good from the bad? It never mentioned what type of picking out you're doing. Ella, therefore, Amar Abaye said the following. Borer v'ochel alter. He can pick out and eat right away. Uborer, and he can pick out. Umeiniach, and give to his friend to eat. La'alter, if it's for the eating of right away. Ulebo b'yom, but if it's not to eat it right away, it's to eat it later. Lo yivror, lechatchila, he shouldn't do it. Ideally, he shouldn't pick out to eat it later in the day. Bimbirer, but if he picked it out for the sake of eating it later in the day, nasa kiborer laotzer, that's considered like someone who's picking it out in order to store it away. V'chayiv karban, and then he has to bring a karban chatas, a sin offering for doing so. Amrua rabbanan kamei derava, the rabbis taught this last idea of Abai in front of Rava. Amalahu, Rava said to them, Shapir Amar Nachmeni. Abaye said it very well. So we had many, many interpretations of a brisa. And what is the bottom line halacha? The bottom line halacha is to be strict for all of these interpretations. And therefore, the only way in which you are allowed to separate a mixture is that you have to have three halachos. Number one, you have to take the good away from the bad. Number two, you need to use your hand. You can't use a tool that is there for separating. Now, a fork is considered your hand, because a fork is just an extension of your hand. But a sifter would be a tool for separating. And number three, you're only allowed to separate the good from the bad for the sake of immediate consumption. You can't do it for later. So you have to do three things. It has to be good from the bad, two, by hand, and for immediate consumption, and then you are allowed to do it. So let's go back to the case that we started with this morning. You want your child to eat some dried fruit. You bring out some dried fruit for dessert. You say, it's good for you. Eat the dried fruit. The kid says, I don't like the raisins. So you can say to the kid, pick the peanuts out of the raisins with your fingers and eat the peanuts right away. So if you're taking what you like away from what you don't like, you're taking the good from the bad without a special tool, without a sifter or a strain, and for immediate consumption, that is what is permitted. But if you're missing any of these three qualifications, then you may have gotten yourself into what might be a possible biblical violation. Okay, now a question. I see Baruch has a question.
Yep. Are we allowed to peel off an apple can't eat them on Shabbat?
That's a very nice question, to peel an apple. I think you can't use a peeler, because a peeler is a tool dedicated to separating the bad, the peel, away from the good. But if you were to use a knife, so a knife would be like the equivalent of your hand, because it's not a specialized tool, it's just to help you do it. You can, in theory, you know, use your hand, use your nails to scratch the peel off. So if you were to use the knife, that is using your hand. And it would be, you know, it would really depend on how you're doing it. Are you doing it to try to get to the apple? That would be okay. If you're doing it to separate away the peels because you don't like the peels, that's not okay. The best would be that you have someone in the house who likes the peels. And you peel the peels and give it to the person in the house who likes the peels to eat them. And you eat the apple without the peels. That would be the best. Let's say you put out a soup, and a kid says, I don't like the sweet potato in the soup. You say, well, I like the sweet potato. So you take the sweet potato out. For you, it's not the bad from the good. For you, it's good from good. You like both. And that would be the best. You cut off the peels, you give it to someone who likes the peels. That's the best.
But so, Rabbi, are you allowed to cut the peeled off apple into pieces? Or you have to hold the whole apple and...
That's,
you know,
certainly okay. Those are big pieces, as we'll see on the other side of the daf. That's certainly okay. Now, Paul has a question.
No, I just think there's a difference between, like, a kid liking something and not liking something and separating the good from the bad. Right?
For sure. But apparently the definition of bad is subjective. You know, what do you like? For this kid, the raisins are bad. Right. Well, this kid is, what do they say? His oats are bad. His Cheerios are bad. He only likes the sugar cereal. It's up to the person. For some people, this is good.
Didn't we say yesterday something about using a kli was better?
No, we're saying, what I meant to say yesterday is that a knife is like your hand. A knife is like your hand. But these are the three things you need. You need by hand, right away, and good from the bad, to pull the good out of the bad. Those are the three.
But fishing into the soup for what the kid likes.
That's certainly good. That's certainly good. You're looking for the good from the bad. That's certainly good.
Okay.
Now you take a spoon. The kid says, I want a potato from the challah. You take the spoon, you start digging, you find the potato, you put it on the kid's plate. That's certainly good.
Mm-hmm. All right, that makes sense.
Rabbi, what is
it's okay, as long
considered
as
later? Not immediate.
I don't know. It's a good question.
What?
I guess a different meal. What about when someone puts out snacks? It's just out there. It's like a Viennese table. It's just out there for hours. That wouldn't be considered later. That would all be considered immediate. Later is the next meal.
I mean, could the kid pick out what he likes because he's going to his friend's house and put it in a bag and take it as a snack? Like,
yeah,
that's not,
yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's all part of one meal. That's certainly fine. That's fine, for sure. Okay.
Rabbi, the case of the cantaloupe that I mentioned yesterday.
Yeah, so let's go back to the cantaloupe, right? So
you're taking out, you're using a knife, which is your hand.
Mm-hmm.
But you're taking the bad from the good. You're sweeping out the little pits, whatever you want to call it, the middle. You're moving that. That's the bad from the good, right?
I'm not so sure, right? It depends really how you cut open the cantaloupe, right? If you cut off the peel of the cantaloupe and you cut in and then you knock out the bad.
No, I'm cutting the cantaloupe in half.
Cut it in half.
And I'm cleaning out the middle.
But are the seeds really a mixture with the cantaloupe fruit? I'm not so sure they are. The seeds are pretty separate.
They sit in the middle. I mean, they're sort of attached by little
strands. But you see how they stand apart. I think when you have watermelon seeds, there you have more of an issue. Watermelon seeds are, you know, inveigled
throughout
the watermelon. So to take, you know, kid says, I don't like the seeds in the watermelon. To take a spoon and fish out the watermelon seeds and say, okay, now there are no seeds. Now you can eat it. That, I think you're right. That would be the problem of taking the bad from the good. But with the cantaloupe, I'm not so sure that there's such a mixture. I don't think there's such a problem into scraping off the seeds from the cantaloupe. Personally, I don't see that as being such a mixture. The question here was, is there a problem of borer on Yom Tov? And the answer is yes. Even though on Yom Tov, Meleches Ochel Nefesh is permitted, it's only certain activities of food preparation and not borer. Now, that was one question. Okay, so let's go further in the Gemara now. He has in front of him two types of food, ubirer v'achal, and he picked out and he ate, ubirer, and he picked out b'niach, and he gave to others to eat. Ravashi masti pater, Ravashi said he's exempt from a karban, and Rabbi Yirmi Medifti masni chayv, Rabbi Yirmi Medifti said he has to bring a sin offering. Ravashi masni pater, Ravashi said he's exempt, v'atani chayv, he said he's chayv. Lokash, it's not a contradiction. Habe kanon v'tamchoy. Depends how he's doing the sifting. If he's doing the sifting with a tool dedicated to sifting, like a sifter, like a sieve, so then he'd be chayiv. But if he's doing the sifting with a funnel, it's not a tool dedicating to sifting, that would be pater, just an iser derabbanan. Ki asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, Amar, he said, shapta derabbibi avoy. It was the turn of Rav Bibi to do the waitering in the kitchen. Iklu Rabami Ravasi, and Rabami Ravasi came. Shada Kamayu Kalkala de Peri. So he had a basket filled with fruit. So the fruits had leaves on them. So he dumped the basket in front of them, just poured out the whole basket. So Veloyadana, I wasn't sure. Imishum de Savarochmi tov psola saser. Maybe he thinks that he's not even allowed to pick the fruit out of the leaves. So he had to just pour the whole thing out. Or Imi Shemayin Yafu, maybe he wasn't halachic reasoning. It was to just show generosity. Here, you can pick whatever you want. There's a lot of fruit. We're not sure. Chizki Amar, Chizki taught another lesson. Again, talking about borer. Haborer turmusim mitoch psola shalahem. If a person's picking the turmusim, turmusim is a certain type of lentil. It has shells. We learned about it back in Masech, the Brachos. So it gets cooked and you keep wanting to separate the fruit from the shells because it makes a bad smell. So even if he's doing it to eat right away, chayiv, that would be something he has to bring a karban chatas about on Shabbos. Does Chizkiya hold that picking the good from the bad is also prohibited? So Gemara explains, shiny tormasim. Tormasim are different. Now turning to Ayin Dalamid Beis. The shalki le shiva zimna. To make it edible, you have to cook it 7 times. Ilo shakti le. And if you're not going to pull it out from all these peels that get softened with all the cooking, misrach, it's going to have a bad smell. So therefore, when you're pulling it out, when the turmesin fruit is with the peels, it's going to have a bad smell. So the fruit itself is considered psolas. Kipsolas mitoch ochel dami. Pulling out the fruit to save it from getting a bad smell, but it itself would have produced the bad smell, is considered pulling the bad out of the good, and that's why it's not allowed. And Adkan, the topic of borer. Again, the bottom line in terms of borer, you can pull the good out of the bad as long as you're doing it for immediate consumption, and you're not using a specialized tool for it. Okay, a question, Baruch.
Yeah, Rabbi, you change the nature by separating it. You change the nature of the item, and from, let's say, from Bure Peri Haetz, it becomes Shaikon Niyavid Baruch. Is that allowed to do it? You know, for example, you know, you make it to Chalent. You put the raisin and this and that together. Each one has separate bracha, but when you put them together, you have to say shahakol. Are you allowed to do that kind of a mixture and you know the on Shabbat situation or
yes.
And then
yes.
Separate them. Then again, you go back to the nature of that item. Or you know, you separate the potato from the, this and. Then you say separate bracha for each item you eat.
Yeah, that would be okay, as long as you like all the items. As long as you like the items, you can separate one from the other. That's okay.
What about chicken on the bone?
That's fine. That's the way of eating.
And also, what if... So it's basically... It's determined if it's taking good from the bad or bad from the good. If majority is bad or majority is good.
No, based on what you like. If you like the good, this is good. If you don't like it, this is bad.
Yeah, but let's say there's a mixture in...
So if there's a mixture, you have to see, what are you separating? Are you pushing aside the bad, or are you pulling in the good? Pulling in the good is okay. Pushing out the bad is not okay.
Rabbi.
Please, a question. Yeah.
So what about the squeezing the lemon on Shabbos? Borer?
No, that's not borer. That's dash. We're going to get to that. That's okay. Dash. All right. It's a different malacha. Okay, next. The Mishnah mentioned someone who grinds. Now we're going to learn that grinding is really any fine cutting. If you take a carrot or a potato on Shabbos and you grate it on the graters, I mean, now everybody uses the Cuisinarts, but back in the day we used to have the metal grater and we used to grate the carrots and grate the potatoes. That is the malacha of tochein. That's the malacha of grinding on Shabbos. It's no different than grinding up wheat and making it to tiny little pieces into flour. So the Mishnah, the Gemara now tells us, Rav Papa said, I'm on the paras silka, a guy who slices the beets into little pieces. Chayev nishim tochein. That's the malacha of grinding. I'm Rav Menasher. Rav Menasher said, I'm on the sun at silta. This grinding can apply even to wood. A person takes a log and he chops the log into tiny little toothpicks. Chayev mishum tochein, he'd be chayev for the malacha of tochein, of grinding. Next, Amar Rav Ashi said, Ikapid amishchasa. Now, if when he's cutting the log, he's cutting it for business. He's not necessarily for business, but he's cutting to get the toothpicks at a particular size. He wants to make them a little this size. It all has to be 2 inches, 3 inches. Every one is 2 inches, 3 inches. So then besides the problem of tochein, chayev mishum achatech. He's also chayev for the malacha of cutting to size. To make the urios izim, to make the oros tachash, to make the skin roof over the mishkan, they have to take the skins off of the seals or off of the tachash, off of the unicorn, whatever creature that was. And then they have to cut it to a particular size. So when you cut to a particular size, that's also the malacha of machatech. Okay, next.
Rabbi, question.
Please, a question, yeah.
About grinder.
Yeah.
If you grind with your hand, not with machine.
Yes.
Like you want to make egg salad for kids for Shabbos, you can't do it?
No, so egg salad's okay because it's already cooked. Okay. The eggs are cooked and you're just cutting them up into pieces. Here we're talking about grinding raw things. Like a carrot or a potato to make a kugel or cutting up the beets, very small. All right, next. Halash v'ha'ofes, someone who kneads or bakes. Amar Papa said, Shavak tana didan vishol samanam davav mishkan v'nakar ofa. I don't understand. Everything in all the malachos are based on what was in the mishkan. In the mishkan they weren't baking, in the mishkan they were making the dye to be able to color the carpets. So why does it talk about baking? It should talk about cooking. Answer the Gemara, it's true. It is talking about cooking, really. But Tana Didan Sidur the Pas Nakat. It's easier for a person to understand baking. That was what they were always doing, baking. So the Tana lists each of these malachos as they are expressed in the order of making bread. But the truth is cooking is the same as baking. So now we're going to talk about cooking. Amar Rav Acha bar Rav Avira. Haiman deshada sikta latuna, a person who takes a peg that they would put on the bottom of a tent to hold the tent into place, and he throws the peg into the oven in order to make it hard. Chayev mishum avashel. He's now chayev. If the heat made it hard, he's chayev for cooking. So why is it cheats? Of course. Why not? It's heat changing something. Of course he's chayev, answers the Gemara. I might think he's trying to make things hard. This is the way Rashi explains it. And maybe the point of cooking is only that the heat makes things soft, not that it makes it hard. So the chiddush is, first when you throw the peg in, it actually becomes softer because the peg was made of wood. So it had moisture in it, and the moisture is evaporating. So the moisture boils up. So first, as it's boiling up, it makes the wood soft. And then v'hadar kamet, and then it gets hard. So since you're heating it to make it soft, and making it soft is part of the process that you want, because you want to get to the destination of hard, therefore that is considered mevashel, and one who did that on Shabbos, forgetting that the day is Shabbos, or forgetting that this is prohibited, would have to bring a sin offering. Amar Rav Bar Rav Huna, Rav Bar Rav Huna said, I'm on the Artuch Kufra, a person who boils up pitch. Chayev Mishum Avashel, he would be Chayev for cooking. Cheat, of course. No, answer the Gemara. Ma'adukim would have thought to say, Kim Adahadar Barakushi, since it goes back and becomes hard. Aim alo, maybe not. Mashman, that's the Chiddush. Amar Rav Rava said, Hi man, David Chavitza, a person who manufactures a earthenware barrel on Shabbos. Chayev mishum sheva chatos. He'd have to bring seven sin offerings. Number one, he grinds up the dirt. So that is tochein, that's grinding. Number two, he pulls out the twigs and the pebbles from the ground mixture. So that's borer, pulling out the bad from the good. Three, he then sifts the dirt. So that is merakade. Four, he mixes the dirt with water. That's making lush. That's making a dough. Five, he smooths out the dirt when he makes it into a barrel shape. He smooths out all the parts that aren't smooth. That's mamachik. That's the same malachas in the Mishkan. They would take the skins and they would scrape off the bumps and the hair that was on the outside of the skin. And then six, he does havara because he is burning it in the fire. And number seven, it's bishul, it's cooking, right? He's lighting a fire and he's cooking. Now, what happens if a person makes an earthenware oven? In those days, their ovens were not like our ovens. Their ovens were almost like these cylinders that were wider on the bottom and got narrower when they got to the top. And they used to put the pot on the top with the hole on the top. And on the bottom, they used to put in the coals. So if a person makes an earthenware oven, chayev mishum shmona chatos, then he'd have eight sin offerings, the seven that we had when he makes a barrel. Plus, there's a finishing touch to making of an oven. There's the adding of the insulation after you made the oven, after you baked the oven. So that's also the malach of makah b'patish, the malach of putting on that last hammer blow to finish the manufacture of a utensil. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Hai man David chalta, a person who makes a round, you know, wicker basket. So they used to make these round wicker baskets. We would use it maybe for laundry or for the garbage. So this round wicker basket. Chayev achas esrei chatos. He would be chayev, if he did it all on Shabbos, 11 sin offerings. Number one, he has to cut the reeds. So that's ktsira. Number two, before that, he had to plant the reeds. So that's zriya. Number three, once he cuts the reeds, he gathers them in the field, puts them into a pile. That's ma'amer, when you gather produce in its natural habitat for collection. Number four, there's Brera. He picks out the bad reeds and throws them away. Number five, he smooths out the reeds, memachik. Number six, he cuts the reeds into little slivers. So that's like cutting the beets into little slivers. That is tochein, that's grinding. Number seven, he cuts the reeds to a particular size to be able to make a nice basket. So that's machatech, like cutting the skins and the mishkan to a set size. Number eight, we have the malachos of weaving. There's mesach, there is putting the reeds on the loom, there is asiyas shnei batzei nirim, there's setting up the system to have the horizontal reeds go through. There's ariga, there's the actual weaving. And finally, since it's a utensil, there is makah b'patish, there is completing of the weaving, when he cuts off the extra reeds that come out of the weaving process, those that don't fit in, he snips those off with the scissors. That's makah b'patish. And if he sewed on the rim of this wicker basket, a rim, And Chayev Shloshes Rechatov. So now he's going to have to bring 13 Karbanos Chatas. Sewing, as well as kosher, as well as tying. All right, that completes various scenarios where a person would have to bring multiple sin offerings because he would have had multiple violations of Shabbos. Next, we learned in the Mishnah, another one of the malachos is agozes asatzem, someone who shears the wool off of a sheep, v'amalabno, and he makes it clean. He cleans the wool. And then we had hamenapzo, someone who combs out the wool, v'atzovo, who paints the wool, v'atzova, and he spins the wool into threads. Am Rabbi Baruchan Rabbi Yochanan atzov et semesh al gabi beima b'shabbos. Say you have some master thread maker. He can spin the wool while it's still on the animal's back. He can spin the wool into threads when it's still on the back of the animal. So if somebody does that on Shabbos, chayiv shalosh chatos. He'd have to bring three sin offerings. Achas mishum gozes, number one, that is pulling off wool from the animal. Achas mishum menapets, that's also cleaning out, combing out the wool. V'achas mishum tove, that's also spinning wool into threads. Rav Kahana disagreed. He said, "Ein derech kziza b'kach. This is not the normal way of doing a malacha. Malacha you're only chayiv for if you do it in the normal way. It's not the normal way of shearing wool. Ein derech menapets b'kach. It's not the normal way of combing out wool. Ein derech tiva b'kach. This is not the normal way of spinning wool." So Gemara says, "Velo, are you going to tell me it's not the normal way?" Well, tiny mishmei Rabbi Nechemya. We learned in a brayza named Rabbi Nechemya. Shatuf be'izim v'tavu be'izim. The verse says, washed in the goats and spun in the goats. So how do you spin the goats? So we learned Alma Tviya al Gabi Behema Shma Tviya, that spinning when it was on the goat is considered a spinning. And the great craftswomen who made the carpets of the Mishkan, they spun the fibers into threads directly on the goats. So the Gemara answers, Chachma Yasei Rashayim. Those women were great craftsmen. And since they were such great craftsmen, it was normal to make threads out of fibers that are still attached. But for a regular person to try to make threads out of fibers that are still attached is not the normal way of making thread. Therefore, for a regular person, it wouldn't be a malacha, even though actually in the Mishkan, it was the great craftswomen who were able to do this, and this is how they made the threads for the carpets on the tapestries of the Mishkan. Okay, next scenario. Tanu Rabbanan Mudin Abraisa, Hatolish Asakanaf, someone who pulls a feather off of the wing of an animal on Shabbos, when it's alive. Vakotma. And after he pulled off the feather, he clipped it. He cut it to size. And then Vamorto. Then he pulled off the feathery part. So just leave the stem to be able to put it into a pillow. Chayev Shalosh Chatos. He's now Chayev three Karbanos Chatos. One for Tolesh, for detaching, like harvesting. This is considered detaching. Two for cutting to size, and three morate would be. The Gemara is going to explain all these things. I'm Reb Shimon Malachim Shlakish explain. Tolesh chayiv mishum gozes. When he puts the feather out, that's the malacha of gozes, of clipping wool off of an animal. So detaching something from a living creature. Kotin, when he cuts it to size, chayiv mishum achatech. And he's chayiv for the malacha of cutting things to size. Like in the Mishkan, they used to cut the skins to size. He's cutting the feather to size. And hamemaret, and if he pulls off the puffy part, chayiv mishum amachek, that's the malacha of smoothing things out. There's a big question in terms of mamachek about brushing teeth. Moshe Feinstein thought that when you brush your teeth on Shabbos, if you brush your teeth, it would be mamatik. It's smoothing something out. And Rav Soloveitchik, my father's Rebbe, he disagreed. He said that mamachik is not when you have a living creature. Mamachik is when you take a skin, you scrape the skin down, but the teeth, you're just rubbing off plaque, which is hardly visible. He didn't think that that was a problem of mamachik. And Rav Soloveitchik allowed his students to brush their teeth on Shabbos, even with toothpaste. Okay, going further. Hakosher v'hamatir, someone who ties or unties, is a malacha on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Kshira b'mishkan hechahavi, where were they tying knots? And you have to remember that the knots that you're not allowed to tie on Shabbos are a permanent knot. So think about someone who's who's going fishing and he wants to put nets into the water and leave them there for a week. So he ties one net to another net, and a really good, strong knot is going to leave it now for a week. Or a guy who's sailing, and he ties the sail to the mast on the boat, and he's going to leave it that way for who knows how long. That's the type of knot that you're not allowed to tie. But when you tie your shoes, you're going to untie it, you know, when you want to take off your shoes. It's not a permanent knot at all. So that is not the malacha. That's not the malacha of kosher. So the Gemara now asks, where in the Mishkan were they tying permanent knots? So, Shira v'mishkan eichan avoy, where were the permanent knots in the Mishkan? Amar Rava, Rava said, shekin koshin b'yizdos olim. The covers of the Mishkan had to be tied down onto pegs. They used to tie it down. They didn't know how long they were going to stay in a place. Amar Abai, Abai said, no, ha'u kosher amanas lahatru. Whenever they would tie something down, they knew they were going to untie it too. So that's not real permanent knot. Amar Abai, Abai said, Shekin Orgea Yerios, when they were weaving the tapestries that went on the roof, Shenifsilka Lehanima, if one of the threads would tear in the middle of the weave, Koshin Oso, they would tie it. So in the middle of the carpet, there would be something tied. Amale Rava, Rava said, okay, Terat the Kosher. Okay, there you have a case of tying. But Machim Naikil Amemar, where was their untying in the making of the Mishkan? They tied one thread. And then again, the next thread on this weave also got torn. So they tied that too. And they had two knots next to each other in the middle of the tapestry. It didn't look nice. They would have to untie one knot and then retie it somewhere else along the thread. So Shari Chad, they would untie one, Vekatar Chad, and tie it somewhere else. They wouldn't do that. Hashluch Melech Basav Adaminosin King. No one would do that to a human king that in his... in his carpet, in his tapestry, there's going to be some hole and somewhere else a knot. People are going to do that before God and God's Mishkan. So therefore, Rav explained, something Rabbi Lai said, those who are trapping the chilazon, the fish that out of which they would make the dye, the blue dye, the tchelas dye, Koshin u'matir, and they sometimes have to tie nets to each other, and sometimes they have to untie nets from each other. Then the Mishnah said another malacha is tfira, sewing. Hatofer shtei tfira, someone who sews two stitches. Well, okaimut, if you make two stitches, it's not going to last. Amar Rabbi Brachan Rabbi Yochan, who's shakashim, we're talking about where you sew them, and then you knot them so that they last, and that would be a malacha that is not allowed on Shabbos. Ad kan daf ayin dalet.